Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
If you're wondering what you were listening to right there.
Someone's last day on the job?
It might be. It might be. I'm an AG. You're going to regret this. That was a Rhode Island prosecutor demanding the police officers in Newport, Rhode Island, shut off their body cameras as she was being thrown in the back of a cruiser for alleged trespassing, warning the cops that they were going to, quote, regret it. Police arrived to find Assistant Attorney General Devon Hogan Flanagan and her friend Veronica Hannon outside the Clark Cook House restaurant on Thursday evening when responding to a call about an unwanted party. She was the unwanted party.
I do believe they were on a date with their boyfriends. Do you think that that is going to be another date?
No, the guy at the hostess stand, the police say, do you want them out of here for trespass? And the hostess guy goes, get them out.
Cuff them. Do what you got
to
do.
How obnoxious must they have been for the host to say, get them out of here?
Well, I told you, her friend continued to resist, was kicking and kicking the door open. The officer, once she was in the back of the cruiser, would try to close the door, and she would stick her foot out.
One of them goes, she's a lawyer. And you hear the cop go, I don't care.
I'm wondering, was it vodka or tequila?
Probably a mixture of both, Dan, if one were to guess.
Possibly.
California authorities say a woman has died earlier this month after getting her head stuck in a donation box.
Did you see this? Okay, you guys, the big yellow donation boxes.
This is the one for shoes and clothing that everybody sees around town.
You pull the metal bin down. I said this to Scott off the air. How did she get even close to being in there?
Well, she was probably, number one, trying and to either get clothing or to get someplace to stay.
I have witnessed someone climbing in and out of these on multiple different occasions.
No!
Yes. They are often stationed at the back of a very big, very common big box store parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when I would go and go to the gym, which happened to be connected to that parking lot, any given morning, you never knew. Sometimes you would see feet. They always made it out okay.
So we have one not far from my house, and it gets there are so many donations that come in.
It's just stuff.
People just start leaving it on the outside because you can't even open the door anymore to put your stuff in there. And there are three kinds of people that I see at this donation box down the street from my house. Number one, the people that operate it who are picking it up. I'm assuming they're a nonprofit that use this and they write it off and all this other stuff. Number two is the people actually making donations, like myself. And number three are the people who come by and they start rummaging through everything that's left on the outside.
Because
the box is overloaded. It's too full. People start leaving like vacuum cleaners. I saw a vacuum cleaner out there one time, a fan, you know, your basic box fan that you would put in a living room or something on a hot day.
Yeah, suburban dump site.
That's basically what it is, Dan. It's a suburban, that's a great term, suburban dump site. And then people come by and just start wading through all the stuff. She sadly was trying to get into the donation box for whatever reason.
Well, it wouldn't be for warmth. You know, if you had said this was in the dead of winter, my heart would break and you would be like, oh my gosh, she's seeking shelter.
I don't know where Lodi, California is.
Lodi.
If you... I don't understand why you would go that route if you needed clothing, because I don't know that there's going to be any items of value in there.
If you draw a line straight down from Sacramento and straight east from San Francisco, you will be in Lodi, California.
Yep, there it is.
Made famous from a Creedence Clearwater song.
Did not know that. Thank you, Dan.
No way. Oh, Lodi. Look like it's something again.
Oh, Lord. Stuck in Lodi. Again.
I never knew that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
Focus. People.
Stuck in a Lodi again. I never knew what they were saying. Lodi.
And why would they call it Lodi City? It's not even near Lodi.
Okay. Really, Sam?
I didn't say
do
that.
You think there will come a day that we no longer see those yellow boxes? And here's why. When I used to live out south, there were those donation bins everywhere, and then one day they just disappeared because it's a complete PIA to have to keep. If you're a business, you don't want that in your parking lot. Do you? I would say no.
Probably not. It's a hassle you don't necessarily need. But you know who loves it? The residents who live around that large box store who don't want to have to drive all their stuff over to Savers
to Goodwill.
Or to Goodwill and... All you have to do is drive it down the street. It's in a big box store parking lot. I'll get rid of a bunch of crap. I don't have to hand it to the guy at Savers who looks at this and goes, yeah, we can't take that.
Then someone has to...
They most certainly do want those on their property, by the way.
Why?
Well, two potential reasons. You're either being paid for that 4x4 square of grass that you would have otherwise had to pay to maintain, or you're doing it as some sort of community, helping the community...
Like
requirement that you have put into your company. So if that particular big box store says we're going to do X number of initiatives a year to support the community, boom, you just checked one of those boxes.
Okay. Missouri has its first ever female attorney general as of today. Catherine Hanaway was selected by the governor to be the next attorney general. She succeeds Andrew Bailey, who resigned to join the FBI. Hanaway is 61. Her name should sound familiar. She's been around for a while. She was a candidate for governor a couple years back, Missouri House Speaker, and she is now the first female attorney general in the state of Missouri.
I'm an AG. Does she go around saying that?
She does not.
Well, she does now.
Well, she could.
She's an actual AG.
I'm an AG. Yeah, you are.
Learn from the others.
An Alabama inmate who officials say is scheduled to die in October by nitrogen hypoxia is now pushing for execution by firing squad or hanging.
Oh, God.
Andrew Boyd has filed a lawsuit challenging the relatively new and controversial execution method that uses lethal gas to cause suffocation, arguing its application is unconstitutionally cruel, something that multiple inmates facing the same fate in Alabama have tried to prove with legal actions. I don't know if he is the one who said, let me be next, though. But there was a lawsuit, 10 inmates, I believe it was in Alabama.
Yeah.
Because they got a ton coming up of executions. They filed a lawsuit against this nitrogen hypoxia. But one of the inmates who's only been in or on death row for like 10 or 11 years or something said, get me out of this hellhole. Whatever you
Speed
decide, whatever happens, whether we can be, you know, shot or hanged or whatever, let me go next. Get me the hell out of here. Wow. Boyd is on death row, though, for the 1993 murder of another man. Killed the guy over $200 for cocaine. Okie dokie. The Independent School District is awaiting a judge's decision after filing a lawsuit and seeking injunctive relief ahead of a possible state-mandated election. Listen to this. It calls for a new state law that took effect after it went to a four-day school week targeted and unconstitutional. Missouri State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick's remarks, critical of independence, not following the new law, marred what was otherwise a good rating and report released on Monday about the management of independent schools. Monday marked the beginning of year three of four-day school weeks in independent.
Guys, can you believe that's been 3 years?
3 years.
We had the superintendent on to describe that and what's it going to look like. And it seemed like yesterday, and it's been 3 years.
Wow. It also marked the one-week mark for a Cole County judge to decide if they should be reconsidered in order to get the matter on a November ballot. So explain to me what's going on. Are they trying to force independents to go back to a five-day school week?
The chatter was that nobody liked it. It didn't work.
They can't hire, I don't want to say they can't hire enough teachers. Teachers flocked to that district.
That's the reporting that we got. But the behind-the-scenes chatter was that nobody liked it, and they were trying to implement a vote to go back to the five-day school week. And that's what this lawsuit or investigation is all about.
Huh. Well, I mean, but aren't schools supposed to be under a local control? Did they not, through either the school board or a vote of the people, I think it was through the school board 3 years ago, decide that they were going to go to a four-day week?
Again, the messaging behind the scenes was that none of the parents liked it.
There was an audit. There was an audit released Monday that the district was, quote, well managed. They scored a rating of good, citing only minor issues with electronic communications, open meetings, and the handling of petty cash. They got a good rating from their audit.
You don't have a lot of parents in Independence who have the flexibility to take off one day a week.
No, but the
didn't
previous,
they provide childcare?
Yeah, I thought the previous superintendent, whose name escapes me at the moment, last name started with an H, when he would come on, and he came on frequently leading up to the four-day school week, said repeatedly.
Well, maybe I'm misremembering, but that's what I remember being the scandal that was going on, was that there was a big push behind the scenes to go back to the 5 days.
Yeah, no, I understand, and I hear what you're saying. What I'm saying is I thought the superintendent then, who has since retired, said to us that there will be, you know, daycare, for lack of a better term, in place on, you know, whether it's a Monday that we don't go to class or whether it's a Friday. I think he was leaning more towards a Monday at the time. Friday, of course, with football and sports activities, et cetera.
Springfield is reporting, and I know Springfield is not here. They are reporting that this is, the way I read it, more a procedural lawsuit, that the district is suing the state, challenging a new state law requiring voter approval for four-day school weeks.
Got it.
Not necessarily whether or not we like four-day school weeks, but there's a new law that says you have to take that to the voters. And Independence is saying, leave us alone. This is working out for us just fine.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
How old is Madge again? Just celebrated a birthday.
Let me look her up. I'm looking it up right now.
This has been on my feed a lot today.
67.
So she just turned 67. Looks incredible.
What?
Yeah.
She butchered her face.
Does not. Yeah. Anyway.
Dana, look at her. I mean, look at her now. That's Madonna. Somebody's had way too much plastic surgery.
Okay. Anyway, Page Six is reporting that she spent her birthday bash in Italy in style with her new boyfriend.
Well, that's nice. Good for her.
He is...
Here we go.
...in his 20s. And I say good for her.
Really?
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Today is... No, her birthday was 3 days ago.
You know why? Because if that was a man... with a 20-something-year-old girl, well, like Bill Belichick.
I was just about to say, we would smear Bill Belichick.
Yes. What is he thinking? He must be off his rocker. People in high sports places have said they think he has dementia because he would never agree to do this with this, you know, person. So why is it different when it's a woman with a more mature woman with a much younger man?
It's not. It's gross. He's 40 years her junior.
He's my age.
She had stopped making relevant music by the time he was born.
Okay, Sam, he is your age. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this would be akin to... How old is your grandmother?
So she is a couple of years older than my mom. So that would be like me dating my mom.
Okay.
Yeah. Minus the family relations part.
Thank you, Sam.
It's a very, very big caveat there. You but know, yeah, she has, really odd.
She has always made headlines because of who she's dating, and I don't think that that's right. I think she looks stunning. That was on her birthday.
I bet that was touched up.
She looks stunning.
Scott, you are just going to die on this hill.
He apparently is a former soccer player. Good for them.
It's gross. It's gross when it's Bill Belichick and whoever she is. Because we all know what each other is getting out of that relationship. He's getting access to fame and money that he, even as a soccer player, I've never heard of the guy.
Okay.
He's probably never had before. She is getting a 28-year-old man.
Keep it clean.
Virile.
Who is...
Maybe they are connected spiritually. Oh, you don't God, know that. Please. But you're right. Then I'm being a hypocrite because I looked at Bill. I look at the whole Belichick thing and I'm like, that is so disgusting.
She's a gold digger. And
without
we know why,
question.
And we know why he's in that relationship.
Sticking
with her
nose into
wearing his Super Bowl
business
rings.
Business matters where it doesn't... You know, you're right. You're right. Maybe Cher's, I'm sexist. I don't know.
Cher's boyfriend is 38.
And how old is Cher?
She's always dated much younger men.
79.
And he's what?
38.
So it's still a 40-year difference.
An additional year difference, yeah.
It's gross. Let's just call it what it is. When it was Smith, what was her name?
Anna Nicole.
Anna Nicole
well,
Smith.
Well, now he was like 90.
He didn't even know his own name.
I know. That was awful. You know, that ended up in court for years.
I believe it. What would you do?
Because his two adult sons, the heirs... to that.
That was an oil fortune.
Can you imagine if you're those sons?
And you know exactly what Anna Nicole Smith is doing. It's gold digging. It's
His name
so...
was Howard, and she claimed to be very much in love with him.
Mm-hmm. With the wallet that he was sitting on. I mean, let's call these relationships what they are. Let me ask you something.
Okay.
All right. God forbid the day ever comes that Big Juicy passes away. Okay?
Yeah.
And your dad is now what, in his early 70s?
Early. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you go down to Biloxi one weekend. You're going to surprise Pops. We're going to go to the coast. We're going to go play some golf.
Yep.
And you knock on the door, and unbeknownst to you, Dad has started to move on with his romantic life.
Uh-huh.
Now that Big Juicy is no longer
okay.
with us.
Okay.
And you walk in the door, and there is a 25-year-old woman. Sitting in the
yeah,
living room.
My children's age.
That's exactly where I'm going. What would you say to your dad? Would you tell him it was disgusting because
no,
it is?
No, I would just go, wow, and how did we meet? That's what I don't understand.
Oh, I don't buy that for a second.
No.
There's, I wouldn't.
You would judge like that.
I would be a little taken aback, but also I don't understand what do you have in common with someone that has 40 years. Like, just think about the lingo we were all joking about yesterday, Sam. All of these stupid new words they've added to the dictionary that don't belong there. Like, I'm de-boot-boot. What am I? Oh, DeLulu.
DeLulu.
Think of all of just the terms that someone 40 years your junior would use. I mean, this is gross, but listen to this age difference. This would be akin to me right now. You know, if you look back in time with Madonna, as I'm 51, the guy that she's dating would have been
in middle school,
barely in middle school. So there, how do you the internet like
she was entering perimenopause before he was born?
Yeah.
It's gross.
Well, why do I feel so awkward talking about it?
I'll repeat a line I had a few minutes ago. She had stopped making relevant, chartable music.
What doesn't mean she doesn't deserve to be happy in her later years?
When he was born.
Yeah. Yeah.
When he was born, she, I don't think, has had a single on the top 40 in his entire lifetime.
Does he even know she's the queen of pop?
Yes, because internet.
Because it hasn't been on the radio since then.
No, it hasn't, Sam. No, it has not. Can you name one song, sir, of your girlfriend's? Can you name one?
Oh, that would be a great interview.
I'm sure he's a fan of her music.
Is he from the Vogue era?
Yes.
Or the Like a Virgin?
I don't know.
913-586-7798, 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Good choice, Sam.
He wasn't even a gleam in his daddy's eye when this song came out.
In fact, this song was released 14 years before he was born.
All right, I hate to be a naysayer, but I'm about to be a naysayer, so brace yourself for naysaying.
We're ready.
From Channel 41, quote, "It's like an Airbnb for the pool. Private pool rental trend makes splash in Kansas City." The Kansas City area is under a heat advisory through Saturday, and it's the kind of weather where all you want to do is jump in the pool. It's why some people in Kansas City are diving into a growing consumer trend, renting private pools by the hour. What happens when someone drowns, you ask? They didn't go into that for this very featurey story.
I understand.
Becky Stagemeyer owns a pool at her Northland home. She says she's been renting her pool to guests for 5 years and has seen nearly 300 bookings. "We weren't swimming as much as we thought we would," she said. "We used to Airbnb our house. We decided to put it in play." Stagmeyer says she charges $39 per hour for small groups of 1 to 5 people and $80 an hour for larger groups of up to 15 people. "It's a good revenue stream for us. Her rental includes amenities like an outdoor bathroom, pool floats, Wi-Fi, and options to rent a grill and tables. A lot of families want privacy. We've even had dates come here," she says. "So I assume those turned out fine. I don't know." Beyond the financial benefits, Stagmeyer says she enjoys the atmosphere. "More importantly, there's nothing more fun than hearing people laugh in your backyard and have fun." Okay, all great. I say to Scott during the break, how... Back up. First, I said, why would anyone want the liability? But maybe that's because I'm a naysayer and as a homer.
I think it is.
You would have a pool and let someone you don't know
have a pool.
Swim in it. The first time, Scott, someone slips and fall, cuts their foot, is there alcohol back there? Does your insurance agent have any idea you're doing this and you know the answer is no?
Well, no, I'm not saying that the insurance company would be all that excited about the idea. What I'm saying is, I mean, think about all the other things that we use, that we own, that we let other people, depending on what kind of business you're in, rent from you.
Tell me.
A house, Airbnb, or if you have a rental property. I mean, think about the liability of just that in and of itself.
Of letting someone in your house.
Of leaving your house on the weekend and letting people come over and live in your home that you don't know. Think about people who use their private vehicles for Uber or Lyft.
Okay, that's fair. Is this one of those cases where you just have an umbrella policy?
You better.
And God forbid, and I hope nothing would ever happen, but even something minor, that is on you. If there's anything that happens on that property, it is on you. That's why we've never had a pool. But I don't want to mess with it.
But it's the same thing if it's an Airbnb. Something happens on that property,
Is there not insurance coverage through the Airbnb? I'm asking.
Here's what I'm insured by USAA. I don't know what they would say other than probably laugh if I called them and said I wanted to turn my house into an Airbnb. I would almost guarantee you my rates would either go through the roof or they would say, yeah, we don't do that. Because of the liability, you know, people going to an Airbnb, and I'm not talking down about them, but think about what they're doing. They're on vacation, more likely than not. And what do people like to do on vacation? Have a good time.
Yeah.
Do you ever notice when somebody is renting property, they don't care about it as much as they would if they owned it.
Oh, of course.
And so people are in your home, your nice little home that you just got. They're not going to love that home the way you love that home.
One of the companies that does this is called Swimply, as in simply, but
I think we've talked about
swimming.
Them before.
Swimply. They do offer third-party insurance, which provides some peace of mind. However, the company also has a waiver that must be signed by both renters and the pool host. Mm-hmm. As an injured pool renter, you may need to still file an injury claim.
It's not something I would get involved in. But people have the right, certainly, to make money off of their own personal property. We see it all the time.
Isn't it already an attractive nuisance enough just simply having the pool? So wouldn't you need increased insurance underwritings for that?
I'll tell you this. I have a very good friend who has a pool in their backyard.
Yeah.
And kids are all now grown and flown, thank God. Because I just do think you would constantly worry about that. Like when the kids are in high school, having friends over, you know, you just worry about that. Mm-hmm. And I almost bet you if I texted and said, would you ever consider renting your pool out by the hour? You would say there is no way in hell.
Here's what I find really interesting about the backyard pool. We have a community pool in my neighborhood, and it's just right down the street. I could walk there in less than 5 minutes. Yet in my neighborhood, there are no fewer than five people with backyard pools.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Three of them I pass every single day when I'm walking the new dog.
Have you ever seen anyone in the pool?
Nope.
Bingo! This is the deal. You don't want to have a pool the same way you don't want to have a boat. You want to know someone next door to you that has those things.
You don't ever want to own a pickup truck because when it comes time for your buddies to move,
that's
you're
right.
The only person they call. The only time, now people go to the community pool like crazy. It's very popular. I have one friend around the corner who had she and her husband had their pool put in like 3 years ago. I've been invited over to their house for a, quote, pool party two or three times. I'm over 50 years old. I could stand to lose a couple of LBSs. We went and, ate some finger food and some soft drinks and stuff like that.
Yep.
Do you think in front of my neighbors, I'm taking off my shirt with my big hairy chest and a couple of stray dark hairs on my back and I'm getting in the, and my a little bit of a gut. Do you think I'm getting in that water?
Probably not.
I'm the second oldest person in my small portion of our neighborhood.
Yep.
Come on, body positivity. You got to love yourself.
I do love myself. I'm just not taking my shirt off in front of all the neighborhood ladies.
Let me tell you this. When you Google pool rental, why don't you guess the first thing that pops up? And
liability. Insurance.
Closer. Go closer to liability. Stick with that.
Injuries.
Yes, and?
Drowning.
It's all lawyers.
Oh, of course.
It's all lawyers when you look this up. Listen to this from one law firm of thousands.
Made.
If you need a pool injury lawyer, call us now. That's on here. Then this, it was just a matter of time. The marketing material said you could make tons of money. All you had to do was sign up and allow strangers onto your property to use your swimming pool. Sounds easy, right? Unfortunately, this could be a liability nightmare for those using it. And then it goes on and on and on and on about why you need a lawyer if you do this.
Mm-hmm. This is why I will never own my own business. I don't want the liability that goes along with it.
Listen to this quote. This is from the law firm, from Swimply, the contract, right?
Mm-hmm.
In all caps, Swimply is not a party to any facet of any agreements entered into between pool owners and guests, nor is Swimply an insurer. Swimply has no control over the conduct of hosts, guests, and other users of the site, application, or service of any pool, and disclaims all liability in this regard to the maximum extent permitted by law.
Swimply is basically just an Airbnb. It's a conduit that, because we talked about them several years ago when they first came out, and they are basically just the conduit that links people who are looking for the privacy of a backyard pool
yeah.
with the people that own the pools.
Yes.
That's
gonna,
all they do.
We're going to introduce party A to party B, but after that, we don't have anything to do with
they
it.
They go Pontius Pilate, and there's no blood on their hands, figuratively or literally.
What if someone gets in a fight? What if someone's assaulted? Like, that is my news brain is just going, nope.
What if somebody gets drunk and drowns, passes out in the pool, and doesn't resurface?
Go ahead. We have an update.
What do you got, buddy?
From the New York Post regarding I'm an AG.
Oh!
We have an update.
What is the update? No, wait till we get back and tell us.
And I will tell you about it when we return.
He's getting better at the tease.
He is getting better.
Twenty minutes ago from the New York Post.
All right, what is the update?
The lawyer for the, and I'm quoting the New York Post here, belligerent blonde seen slipping out of the handcuffs as her Rhode Island prosecutor pal seized at cops has spoken out.
Now, this is the AG or her friend?
This is the AG's friend.
Got it.
So this is the scenario that we've talked about a couple of times today where a special assistant Attorney General in Rhode Island pulled the "Do you know who I am?" as she was being trespassed out of a restaurant there. The friend lost her ever-loving mind throughout the process. However, the lawyer disagrees.
Her name's Hannah.
Name is Veronica Hannon.
Oh, Hannon.
Hannon was allegedly the only one trying to slow things down, according to her lawyer. John Grasso told the Post that it was, after all, fast and furious as the chaotic body camera footage showed what happened, but she was the only one who was trying to keep the peace. He says she finished her meal, paid the bill, and walked out, and that's when the hit the fan.
The problem is all of this was caught on body cam, that she at one point told the officer...
She's a blanking lawyer. She knows what she's talking about.
...to turn off...
Now, that's the AG. This is her friend who was talking now. But
it's even worse that that was the AG that said, turn off your body camera.
The lawyer goes on to say, perhaps her lack of experience is what caused her to get caught off guard by what you saw unfolding on the police video that was shared with the media. Mm-hmm. So he's claiming that since she hasn't been arrested before, she thought that the way that you do respond to being detained
is kicking the door open.
Is kicking the door open, screaming, slipping out of the handcuffs, resisting. She did wiggle out of their grip a couple of times.
That's not okay.
And it's all, according to the lawyer,
and work it out later.
Because she didn't have any experience
in breaking the law.
Being arrested.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of attorneys who are friends of mine, one said she could lose her license. One said, I don't think they'll go that far, but this is an avoidable disaster. Her boss has, the actual AG, if you miss the audio, you'll hear it's all over the internet. I'm an AG.
Do you know what I am?
The actual attorney general has said, and this, I think, is the worst punishment if you think about it, Scott. I made her sit down in my office and watch the body camera, the footage. Made her watch the entire thing. And then I said, take a couple of days. I want you to think about it. And then you come here and tell me how we should handle this.
Well, didn't the AG also tell her you will be apologizing or we're going over there right now? And we're going to go apologize to the Newton Police Department.
Of course.
Yeah.
The lawyer also said that Hannon is quite overwhelmed right now. This is not a typical experience.
By overwhelmed, he means hungover?
Actually, this happened last week. It took a while for this to break.
She's probably still hungover. Based on the way that she behaved in the video.
The Post story does say that both women downed booze before the arrest, according to Boston.com.
No.
Really?
We have some good news out of Western Shawnee. Actually, at the crossroads of Western and Eastern Shawnee.
Oh, please tell me they've opened that road for those poor business owners.
The construction project that knew no end at 435 in Midland is now reopened.
Oh, thank goodness. I feel so bad for those business owners.
Well, remember, we did a story on them. There were a handful over there that said, we are barely hanging on.
Is the project complete?
According to the city of Shawnee's Facebook page, It is reopened.
Okay, because we've had it reopen and reclose a couple of different times.
That is correct.
Already.
The only that
way
is correct.
At one point, the only way to get to those businesses was to drive by, realize you can't get over there,
then
find the next exit, loop around,
go to Mauer Road,
come all the way back, and then by then you're just like, forget it. We'll go over by the Lenexa City Center.
It was a pain in the you know what.
Please go see the folks that own Rise and Shine. I love that little breakfast spot over there.
Well, I thought I saw that they had posted something about it, but it's good. Not on their page at the moment. Well, let me take a gander here.
I'm thrilled for
anyway,
the businesses.
I know that I was going through Facebook a little bit ago, and they said it is reopened. And they had a picture and everything, and it looked like it was open. Ready for business.
They have to be over the moon.
Celebrating birthdays today, Bill Clinton is 79. John Stamos is 62. And John Deacon, the bassist for Queen, is 74. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. The bonus hour is next. Have a great night. Be safe. Be well. And be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.